Our reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 17. If you've got a church Bible, it's on page 1035. Luke 7, 1 to 17. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was ill and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Chris. Natalie, do you want to... Here you go. Great. Let's pray for us. Let's pray for Natalie as we come to look at these two passages. Father, thank you for Natalie. Thank you for the word that you have been preparing in her heart and in her mind. Thank you for who you are and all that you do. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and speak through Natalie. We welcome you to come and speak into our hearts and minds right now. That you'd help us to understand what it is that you want us to understand today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'm really aware, standing here this morning, that we are all in a different place in our journey to do with healing. I'm really aware that we all come with different experiences, and we'll be in different places right now. I can't imagine that there's anybody here whose life has not been touched by illness for themselves or for somebody close to them, or the untimely death of somebody near to them. And so I'm sure you can imagine, standing up here, I really want to tread gently. I really want to just speak truth, but speak hope, and speak of what I feel that this passage shows us about Jesus. But if you're out there at the moment and already this feels like this is hard, I just want to take a moment right now just to let our hearts, just to give them to the Lord, and just to let them be open to see and be available to what God might want to say to us in this moment this morning. So at the beginning of Luke, he says that he has decided he wants to write his gospel. He wants to write everything down so that Theophilus and us can be certain of the things that we've been taught. Luke wants us to know what Jesus was like, what he was truly like. And Jesus is the exact representation of God. And so if we see what Jesus is like, we know what the Father's like. And so from these passages, we can learn what God is like. And we know, because the Bible tells us so, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the things that we can learn about Jesus from 2,000 years ago are true of who he is today. And I really want us to keep that in mind as we read these passages. And I actually want to start backwards. I want to start with the story of the raising of the widow's son in Nain. Now, I don't know how much you know about the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament, there was a prophet called Elisha, and he also raised a widow's son from the dead. He raised a boy from the dead. And the place that he raised this boy from was a place called Shunem. And by the time that Jesus was around, Shunem didn't exist anymore. But Nain is very, very close. It's a couple of miles from where they think that Shunem was. And so right at the beginning, we have this story of what's going to be this raising of this widow's son in a really similar geographical area to what happened hundreds of years before. And again, there is history there of this raising. And right at the start now, I'd just like us to think about the areas where we have seen God do stuff. The areas in your life where you have seen God break in. The areas in your life where you have seen God heal. The areas where there has been hope and there has been faith. Because I don't know about you, but often if I think about healing, I think about the stuff that hasn't happened more than the stuff that has happened. And so right at the beginning, I'd really like us just to think about where have we seen God do stuff? And it's been great for me this week because actually I've been able to have little conversations and I was reminded, we were talking with our small group on Wednesday and they had loads of stories about where God had done stuff, where God had healed, where the miraculous had happened. And Neil was chatting as well and he reminded me of some stories from New Zealand that I'd forgotten about. Actually, God has moved and we want to remember that in the tensions that we have in the day to day. We want to remember that God is faithful and he has moved. But Jesus enters this town of Nain and he encounters a desperate situation. There's a widow, so she's got no support, she's got no rights, she's got no idea how she would be provided for unless her children did it, and her only son is now dead. It is a desperate, hopeless situation. And when Jesus sees her, he has compassion on her. It says, his heart went out to her. Now, apparently in the Greek, it's a word I couldn't pronounce. I would do if I could, but I can't. There you go, Paul, I'll tell you later. But it is. There is no stronger word in the Greek language for this sympathy. And it literally means from the bowels. It is gut-wrenching. His compassion and his heart for this widow is gut-wrenching. His feeling for her couldn't be stronger. And so when we sit sometimes and we think, how can God care? He cares. He cares so much. He couldn't care more for our situations. And he goes up to the woman and he says, "Don't cry." I can't imagine going up to somebody who lost their son and saying, "Don't cry." But he can, because he goes up and he touches the coffin and he tells the man to get up. And he does. He brings him back to life. Jesus can say, "Don't cry," because he is the Lord of life. He is the Lord of life. And so it's knowing that he is compassionate, that he cares, and that he can do the impossible. He can restore life. Coming out of that story from the widow, that I want to go back to the story of the centurion. So in the few chapters that we've already looked at in Luke, we've already seen that there's healing. So we've already seen Simon's mother-in-law has been healed of a fever in Capernaum. A leper has been healed. A paralyzed man's been able to walk again. A man with a withered hand had it restored as well. And there are countless others. In fact, already there are two verses that say everybody that came to him was healed. All who came were healed. We've already seen that. So I was thinking, well, why? If we know God heals, and Luke's already done this, why now is he doing these specific stories? What is it about them? But you see, up till now, those explicit healings that Luke has described have been for the people of Israel. They've been for the Jewish people, and they have had access to his healing and his power. But Jesus has come for more than just the people of Israel. He's already stood up in the synagogue and said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to bring healing, to bring freedom, to bring favor. This is the year of the Lord's favor. He's announced that it's for all. And Luke is really keen for us to see all through his gospel that Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is not just for men. He's not just for the Jewish people. He's for everybody. And so we have this explicit story here about this Gentile, this centurion. So a centurion was a Roman officer in charge of at least 1,000 men. And we know some stuff about this centurion. We know that he was open to God. He was liked by the Jews. He helped them to build their synagogue. We know that he had quite an unusually kind attitude to his servant, because in those days, slaves and servants might not have been given the consideration that he had given to his servant. And we know that he is humble. He doesn't think it's about him, because he tells Jesus not to come to his house. He's not worthy. But he says, "Say the word and let my servant be healed." And why is he so sure that Jesus will heal? And he goes on to say in verse 8, "I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." The centurion recognizes and understands authority. And he knows that the reason for his authority is his identity. He's a centurion. That's who he is. That's his identity. And therefore, he can give these commands and his soldiers will do as he says. And he's a centurion and he knows that he has people above him. And that's their identity. He knows where he fits and therefore he will follow the orders. You might know I've got three boys, Neil and I've got three boys, and if you ever see us around at the end of church, you might really doubt that the authority that they think I have as their mother. And often that might happen. I'll ask them to do something and they'll say, "Why?" And I'll just say, "Because I'm your mother and I'm telling you to do it." And it doesn't always go down as I would like it to. But that's the truth, isn't it? Sometimes our identity is the thing that gives us confidence for the authority that we have. And this centurion is absolutely certain of the identity and the authority of Jesus. And we've seen Jesus' identity affirmed at his baptism by his heavenly Father, who said, "You are my Son, whom I love." And we've seen his authority confirmed with power already in all that he's been saying and doing, as he has brought the kingdom of God in by the power of his Spirit. And the centurion understands who Jesus is. And that's the thing that gives Jesus cause to marvel and be astonished. Because Jesus has healed lots of people. There have been lots of Jews who've been healed. And rightly so, they're the chosen people of God. They know who they are. They belong to God. They're his covenant people. They've got a promised land that's due for them. They're waiting for their inheritance. And many had come to Jesus, believing in who he was and trusting in who they were as his people. And they'd been healed. But I wonder if their faith was more in their identity as the people of God, more than it was in who Jesus was and in the nature of God. Because they were now having to get their heads around the fact that actually Jesus didn't just come for them. He came for everybody. And the centurion had grasped that. He was not a Jew. By rights, he didn't have the right to the healing. He didn't have the right to the kingdom of God because he wasn't a Jew. But he believed who Jesus was. He believed who Jesus said he was and what he had come to do. He had seen that God had given him authority. And he took hold of that and those far-reaching promises, and he dared to believe it for his servant. He dared to step out and believe that there was healing available for his servant. And Jesus said, "I've not seen faith like this yet. I've not seen faith like it, where somebody really believes who I am and who I've come for." And the servant was healed. Jesus didn't have to go any further. The servant was healed. Totally miraculously. And I don't think it's about the amount of faith. We've seen in the story with the widow, Jesus didn't, there is no comment made about the widow's faith. There is no comment made about the faith of anybody in the funeral party at all. Jesus's heart of compassion reached out and raised that boy from the dead. Actually, we're not talking about having enough faith. We're talking about just what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about who he's come for and what he can do? And we know that the Bible is the living word. It is true for today. We've already said Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what do we believe? What do we truly believe of who God is? Because what we believe about who he is, about who we are, about his identity, determines what we do, determines how we think and how we live. And actually, for some of us here, knowing that God is truly good, that he truly cares, is where we're at right now, today. Actually, that might be something that is a thing that we are wrestling through. I've got a couple of stories to share with you from my life. When I was 11, I gave my life to Jesus. I have a day. It's the 4th of July. I was getting ready for school, and I was ready early, and I was wandering around in the garden, and I just started to cry. And my mum said to me, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I don't know what the matter is, but God is trying to tell me something." And she sat me down, and she said, "I think that he is extending his invitation for you to receive him into your heart." And actually, now as a mum, I think that was far more precious for her than it probably was for me that day, for her to lead me to Jesus. And that was really, you know, really significant time. But what happened at the end of the week was that I had a really bad shoulder. It really ached, it really hurt. And it had been going for about 3 days. And we went to church on the Sunday morning, and I was whinging on the way into church. And she was like, if you're going to keep whinging, you should have just stayed at home. She was very gracious and compassionate, my mum. And anyway, during the worship, somebody had a word. And they went to the front and shared the word. And it was about somebody with a frozen left shoulder. And we kind of looked at each other, with heads down praying, kind of looked at each other and grinned. And so we invited people to come and pray for me at the end. And as they prayed for me, my shoulder got really hot. And the pain went away, and it was completely healed and completely restored. But the people that were praying with me said, we just really feel that God wants you to know that what happened at the beginning of this week was a real and true thing. It was God in your life, and you're his child now, and he just wanted to confirm that with you today, and he's using this to do that. And so for me, that was part of my identity and being a child of God and affirming that choice I'd made to follow him. So I've got a tangible experience of knowing God's healing touch and power in my life. Some of you may know, because I've shared little bits before, that and at that time, actually, my mum was already ill. My mum suffered with cancer for 6 years, and so she was already quite poorly at this time. And she was a woman of faith, and we often prayed for her and prayed with her, and she saw degrees of healing and times of feeling well throughout those 6 years. But the day came when actually she wasn't going to be with us anymore. And so she died when I was 12. And that is not an easy thing to deal with. It's not an easy thing to deal with when you're 12, but it's not an easy thing to deal with when you really want to believe that God heals and you've seen God heal. Actually, what is that all about? And so I'm standing in front of you today as somebody who has not nailed the healing thing. Actually, God does heal. I have known it, but I have also known the reality of a hope deferred. And there are many of you here, if you've been here for more than a couple of years, will have experienced that and walked this out within this church family. And there are no trite, glib answers. And I know that. But at the same time, I know that this is true, that Jesus is the same today as he was then. And his heart of compassion does never fail us. It never fails us. And we can keep reaching out to him. I want to be defined by the truth of this word and not by my experience. Because if I reduce what I believe to my experience, then this might not count for very much. And I don't believe that. This is the standard that I want to live by, and I'm sure most of you want to live by. And the truth is that even that what is true in the light is still true when it's dark. This is still truth. If it's true, it's true in the dark just as much as it's true in the light. But the other thing about the centurion was he wasn't asking for the healing for himself. He was asking for it for his servant. Actually, he wanted to see his servant restored, and he believed it for his servant. And the Bible tells us to pray that God's kingdom will come here on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus tells us to pray that. So we want to pray for his healing and wholeness, his restoration to be here. There's no sickness in heaven. We want that here. Jesus wants that here. He tells us to pray that. But he also says, I'm giving you the authority to go and to share the truth of my kingdom with the people around you. So for some of us here, we need to know it for ourselves. We need to know it for the situations that we're in. But for some of us, we want to believe it for the people who are around us who don't yet know the goodness of God and the amazing state of being in his kingdom and knowing his joy and his peace and his restoration. Actually, the centurion took a hold of that. And I'd really like to take a hold of that too, because Jesus says, he says in Matthew 28, go, I'm giving you authority. Go and make disciples. Go and tell people what I'm about. Go and show them what I'm about. And he's about healing and restoration. And this week, I was challenged. It's always great when you're preparing a talk because then God puts it in your face. And so, a few years ago when I was teaching, I wanted to pray for my colleague who really wasn't feeling very well at all. And I prayed for her that morning, and she got worse and worse through the day. And she ended up being off all week. And if you're a teacher, you're never off all week because you just feel awful about that. So she must have been really, really ill. She was really poorly. I was like, Lord, I stepped out and did this, and she was really ill. So that's experience that I've had before. And as I said earlier, often when we talk about healing, the things that come up first in my head are all the things that where it hasn't happened. So that's often in my head. This week, get to work on Monday, been thinking about all this and preparing it, and my colleague is kind of walking really gingerly, and she's in bending and doing all this, and she's hurt her back. And I look at her, and I know I'm supposed to be full of joy, aren't I? And yes, the Lord loves you, and he wants to heal you. And inside I'm going, oh gosh, I've got to pray for you. That's honestly how I felt, because I thought, I've stepped out and done this before, and the person got worse. But I knew I was going to stand before you this morning, so I thought, with integrity, I cannot not pray. So I phoned Neil, and I said, can you pray for me to be bold, because I'm not feeling very bold at the moment. So we prayed, and she went home at the end of the day, and I completely forgot to pray for her. But that night, when I'd remembered that I'd forgotten, I sent her a message, and I said, I'm really sorry I didn't get to pray for you today. I'm praying for you that your back gets better quickly. If you'd like me to pray with you tomorrow, I'm more than happy to do that. She replied straight away. Oh, by the way, this person is, she's lovely, and I get on really well with her, but she's not really open to God stuff. There's been a couple of comments where I've gone, okay, I'm not going to go there on that one. So that was why I was a little bit tentative as well. Anyway, she messaged me straight back, and she said, oh, bless you for your message. Let's hope he listens. So I'm going, please listen. The next morning, she said, I said, oh, how's your back? And she said, oh, it's a little bit better than it was. I was like, okay, great, I'll keep praying. Anyway, Wednesday, lunchtime, she comes in, and she just literally, she just popped her head in. She just went, by the way, whatever you did last night, it worked. And then she walked off again. I was like, really? Shouting at her down the corridor. She's like, yeah. And yeah, her back's better, which is just great. But I wouldn't have, you know, I was hesitant about doing that. And I wasn't full of, God loves you. I was a bit like, I've got to do this. But you know what? That's all right. Actually, because I want to see this and I believe this. And so I'm going to go after it. And I'm sure you're like me. You have stories of victory and stories of hope. But you also have stories of disappointment and where your hope has been deferred. And at the moment, you have no answers. And you may still be hurting a lot. And we get that. We get that. But we still want to go after who Jesus is. We still want to lift that as our expectation and that as our hope. And I'm going to keep praying, and I'll probably be terrified and not do it some days as well. And sometimes in my heart, I'm like, okay, come on. because it doesn't always feel great. But that's what this says, and that's what we're gonna keep going for. And so I'd just like to finish with us taking a moment to pray. And the thing that we're gonna pray for first that I would just like to help lead us in is knowing that God loves you and he cares for you and he cares for those around you. And that care and that compassion is bigger than you will understand. And that he is good. And if this morning there is anything that is stealing your joy of the goodness of God because of anything that you're going through or have been through, I would just really like to pray for us now that we can open our hearts, open our hands, just to leave that open for God to take. And I don't know that means that it'll be lifted straight away, but actually to have open hands to say, God, I'm willing to give you this hurt and this disappointment. I'm willing to let you show me how you are good. Then I'd like to do that right now. So if you could, if everybody could just close their eyes. And if this is something that is for you, you might want to put your hands on your heart. You might want to put your hands open. Just to, as a sign to indicate to God that he can come. Heavenly Father, we come to you. To say that we long to believe and trust in your goodness and in your kindness. Elsewhere in the Bible, somebody comes to Jesus and he says, I do believe, help my unbelief. Lord, we come to you today and lay before you the areas where we are disappointed and our hope has been deferred. Lord, where our experience wants to steal the joy of knowing your goodness and trusting your goodness. We say, Lord, would you have your way in us now? Have your way in us now. We choose to believe your word more than our experience. We choose to trust that you are higher than we are. Your ways are way above our ways. Your thoughts far above our thoughts. Lord, we invite you to heal our hearts. That we would know you better.
Wonderful. So what we're going to do, there'll be very few of us in the room this morning who would probably say that we've nailed the healing thing. And what we're not going to try and do this morning is do everything all in one morning. So we're not going to try and just tick off everything to do with this thing in one fell swoop. We're going to be coming back to this again in Luke, and we're going to be talking more about it and practically looking at it, and there'll be future invitations to do this. So we're not going to go for all of it all at once, but we do want to invite a bunch of different ways to respond. So to my left and to your right, just in this space down here by the side, there's going to be a bunch of people who are going to be available for you to pray with. And they're going to be wearing lanyards. And if there's not enough initially, because there's more people that need or want prayer, then we'll make sure we get some more people. So don't worry about coming. We'll make sure there's some people there for you if you need that. But we want to respond in a bunch of different ways. Firstly, actually, if you are someone here this morning who physically you are unwell, you are in a place where you need healing, or you want to search God for that, then you can make your way over to there, and we'll have some people ready to pray for you. That's something that you can do. If actually you would like to continue praying about this sense of disappointment, or the fact that you've seen some things and not others, and you're wrestling with that sense of the mystery and whatever God is doing in this subject, then again, there'll be people there who would love to pray for you about that. Natalie also talked about the idea that that the centurion was asking for healing for someone else. And actually, it might be that you're someone here this morning who senses that call to be someone who goes out and prays for people in this area. And again, if that's you, then we'd also love to have a space for you to be prayed for as well with someone over there. Or, of course, anyone that you've come with can also pray with you as well. That's absolutely fine. So there's a few different ways that we want to initially start in our response time. We're also going to worship as well. So why don't we start by standing, if you're willing and you're able. Our team will continue to lead us in worship. And ministry team, if you're someone who has Neil spoken to you and you're ready to go, then make your way over to that space. That would be great. Brilliant. And just as we begin to worship now, if you want to pray about any of those things that I've mentioned, or I guess obviously anything else as well, just as we begin to worship and through our time of worship, just make your way over to that space and there'll be someone ready there to be with you. If there's, as I said, if there's not someone there immediately, don't worry, we'll make sure we'll have someone there. Neil's going to make sure there's people there to pray with you if you need it. Okay, so why don't we pray together just for a moment, and then these guys will lead us as we worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the things, again, that you're seeing happen in the room. Thank you that you know what's going on inside of our hearts, the way that we respond to this particular subject. And thank you that you see all of those responses and reactions. And we ask that in these moments, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and do your work. We invite you to come and do your work, to do the things that you want to do in the way that you want to do them. We give you freedom, Holy Spirit, and we give you permission. And we extend the invitation, come and move in whatever way you want to, in Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. So we're going to worship just for a while longer. I'll probably pop up and down a little bit and just let you know what's going on at various points. So let's continue in our worship. Again, if you want prayer, make your way over, and there'll be someone there ready to go. Okay.